Great to see everybody.
It is.
God is good to us.
Yes.
I shall carry on with the topic of worship. But whilst we were still and in the presence of the Lord,
Amen.
I really felt him speak to me.
Praise God.
And it fits in with what I'm working through on worship with, but and it'll come in later again, but we all have these things called telephones, don't we, these days? You know, we all have one of these type, you know. Well, you have a mobile phone. Oops, nearly dropped it then, didn't I? You know, you've all got your mobile phones at times, and there's every, you know, they're all doing this and this, and they can work them like crazy. Which is great, I suppose. But the greatest conversation you can have with anybody is a conversation with God.
Yeah.
Now then, does anybody here know God's phone number? Well, that's sort of, well, no, I found an emergency number, right? I found an emergency phone number that you can call God, okay? But you don't need an app. You don't need an iPhone. You don't need a mobile phone. You don't need an ordinary mobile phone. In fact, you don't need a phone. You need this book. And there's a phone number in this book. And it's easy to remember.
Call on me.
No.
Jesus.
No. I told you it's a new number I've got for you. It's a new number that I've got for you in this book that allows you to get straight through to God. Three numbers you need to dial. In this book. Huh?
999.
Yes.
Is it? I'm saying emergency number.
That's exactly it. It is an emergency number. 999. And you can get straight through to God. Now I've got somebody thinking, 999, what planet? So what's he on about? That's for emergency services and what have you. Dial 999 in this book and you'll get straight through to the emergency services. Now then, got you thinking now, haven't I? In what book would you find 999? A chapter and a verse. I'll give you. It's not a book you're looking for in that sense. Where would you find those three numbers together in the Bible? 999. I think actually there is only one place. I've been racking my brains, and at the moment I think I've only got one place in my Bible where you can find 999. And it's not the page number.
No.
Because that is going to be different in everybody's Bible. The one I've got is a direct line. Have you got your Bibles?
Yeah.
Have you? Some of you got your Bibles on here? Have you got your Bible ready? Are you ready to turn with me?
Yeah,
go on. You ready? Psalms. Psalm 99 and verse 9. It's the only book. It's the only place, I think, in the Word of God where you're going to get 9, 9, 9 that comes together. Would you agree with me? I cannot think of anywhere else at the moment. And when you dial 999, this is what it says. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord your God is holy. And I tell you this, when you begin to worship, all your trials, all your troubles, all your sicknesses, all your diseases, everything that would seek to come against you will start to be dealt with by the emergency services. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So dial 999 in the Word of God and read it out aloud to yourself, and the emergency services will begin to come into action as you begin to respond to what it says there and begin to worship the Lord.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Because he takes care of all your problems. Just dial 999.
That
just came to me whilst I was sat there at the front, just sat in the presence of God. And he gave me that verse of scripture, and I thought, why is he giving me that verse of scripture? So I went to look it up, and there I saw it. 999.
Amen.
Call on me.
Yes.
When you're in trouble, call on God. Dial 999 in your Bible and start to worship. And as you worship God, wow, things will begin to happen. Things will change. Hallelujah. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool.
Yeah.
One version says worship at his footstool, I believe. And
worship at his holy mountain.
One says worship at his holy mountain. I think worship at his footstool is in another verse somewhere. But worship at his holy hill, his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. And when you start to worship him and begin to realize who he is and what he's done for us, your troubles, your difficulties, sickness and disease will be driven from us in the mighty name of Jesus. But it's all about worshiping him, putting him first. So what do you need to dial in your Bible? 999. Psalm 99 and verse 9. It's easy to remember, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just when you need that little bit of a connection, that little bit of a pickup, that little word of encouragement. Yeah. All right. What does 911 give you? There you go. Works for the Americans as also. See, ain't God amazing, eh?
You know,
before we ever invented telephones, God had already put the number in waiting for us. You know, he'd already got the verse there waiting for us. Amen. You know, we think we're smart, don't we? We really think we're smart. And God's thinking, this lot don't even know that I've given them that. And if we link these things together, wow, 999 or 911, as the Americans dial. If you want emergency services in America, you dial 911.
Under his wings.
Glory to God, and you know his protection's there for us. That fabulous, Edwin. Always there for us, underneath and round about. Glory to Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Well, I believe we finished off in.
True worshippers shall worship.
I don't have that down in my notes. You know what I'm like. You mean I must have gone on? I think I used. Did I bring in 2 Timothy chapter?
Yeah,
stir up the gift of God
that is within you.
You stir it up. It's not for me to stir you up.
Stir yourself.
Because once I stop stirring, you'll just settle again. And you'll separate.
Yeah.
But the word says you stir up the gift of God that is in you. See, each and every one of us has been given gifts from God. And you have a responsibility, as I do, to use the gifts that God has given to you.
Yeah.
You might say, me? What gifts have I got? Don't ask me. Begin to seek God. And then begin to say, Lord, I'm going to step out. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to be what you want me to be. You see, so many people have turned around to us and said, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, etc. It's not true.
No.
It's not true.
No.
Glory to Jesus. Stir up the gift that is in you. And as you stir up that gift that God has given to you, then you begin to use it for His praise and for His glory. Amen. So as we continue to look at worship, and as we, when we worship, we are stirring ourselves up into the very presence of God. We're stirring ourselves to move closer into a relationship with the Lord. And we looked at John's Gospel, chapter 4,
yeah,
and verse 23 and verse 24, and it says, and an hour is coming, and is now, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit,
yeah,
and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshippers. God is spirit.
Yeah.
And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Worshipping God in spirit and in truth. It's not about Bill and I playing instruments directly. Because we can come into the presence of God, and without a keyboard,
yeah,
and without a guitar,
yeah,
we can worship,
yeah,
God.
Amen.
Our voice has more voices than some of these electronic keyboards.
Yeah.
And so we can come, you see, I'm teaching on worship. And it's good to gain knowledge and a measure of understanding. But there then comes a point where the learning and the gaining of knowledge,
yeah,
has then got to be put into practice. Is that not true?
Yeah.
You can spend, I know when, I remember at school, that's a long time ago, when we went to the music class, and they taught us the letters where the notes were, and the gaps on the manuscript, as you look across it, and it's F-A-C-E. Those are in the gaps, isn't that right? The note of F, the note of A,
yeah,
note of C and E, and they're spaced, they fit in those spaces.
Yeah.
And they gave you this little formula that helped you, you know, this face that helped you remember that first gap was an F note. The next gap was an A note. The next gap was a C note, and the next gap was an E note. It's like, wow, that's easy to remember, isn't it? I've managed to remember that all my life now. In spite of all the other information that's come to me, I still remember that. So I learned that. So I gained some knowledge. But then I had to put that knowledge that I'd learned into practice.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
And when we learn these things, there comes a point when we have learned them that we have to begin to put these things into practice. I can teach on worship forever and ever and ever. And you'll never enter into the presence of God. Well, your music teacher can teach you music all week. For a year. And you'll never play an instrument. I remember they gave me the triangle. In the orchestra. I wasn't very enthusiastic with the triangle. I couldn't stand the sound of recorders. Even though I blew one for a while, it was like, phew. You can give up, can't you?
Mm.
At that point. Didn't think much to the triangle offer. I know somebody has to do it. Just didn't want to do it. Certainly didn't think much to recorders when there's 30 of us in a class, all sat at desk, blowing recorders in somebody else's ear. From behind, you know. And then somebody goes and blows up.
Didn't
get the finger over all and didn't get the mouth in the right place neither. They could hit some notes on them. Things think, gosh, wow. So one could be put off at that point and say, music's not for me. I'll never be able to do it, such a thing. And so, worship we can teach and teach and teach and teach on it. But it still needs you and I to actually begin to practice it.
Amen.
To enter in to worship. And you do have to practice worship.
Yeah.
It is not a lifestyle. Well, I don't know. Having watched the football last night with Dharma, half the house is asleep.
Yeah.
For quite a while. And then all of a sudden, there's a goal.
Oh, right. Wakes everybody up then.
Nearly shot out of each
other. Oh! The rest of the house is fully awake. And that was just Dharma. He was entering in.
He was.
Glad we didn't have a football in the lounge. It might have gone through the TV, you know. His arms went up, his legs went up in the air. He was entering in. Form of worship. True? Showed you this enormous football stadium. Massive place. I don't know how many thousands it seats, is it? I don't know. Massive stadium. About 80,000. And there are men there, mostly men. And may I just borrow your scarf a moment? Thank you. And there they are. They've got the scarves. Hey! And they stood there and they're waving it and singing it and doing all these things and they're waving it around, you know. It's their football team. They score a goal. Stand up, Ray. They score a goal. Right? Ask men to do this. Oh! Ah, you know, and they're kissing one another. Is that true? I'm not telling lies, am I? And there they are. What has just happened? What has just happened? Huh? This round thing, made out of synthetic material now, no longer is it a leather casey ball, because they won't be heading it in like that and coming out. You know. They'll be heading it and going, oh my God, what did I just, oh. And there they are, kissing one another, hugging one another. Can you imagine in church saying, right, fellas, everybody give each other a big kiss and a big hug, because Jesus is on the throne, glory to God. He's alive, he's risen, he's ascended, he's glorified. Ooh, glory to Jesus. Huh? I think I've lost weight. My trousers. Need a belt. Hallelujah. The shrinking wash, not stretch. Yeah. Just be careful, you. Oh, come over and give another kiss.
Don't worry, it's been
done. Or, you know, and in church, We have the creator of all things who's died for my sins and for my sicknesses and for my diseases and everything else about me. He rose on the third day, conquered sin, sickness and death for me and for you. He's given me eternal life. And has promised me there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more tragedies. He's promised me I can spend eternity with him and his Father.
Amen.
And we go, Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is that the best you can do? Maybe 40,000. Half of them were rejoicing about this bag of wind that just went in the back of this net. The other half were weeping and wailing, and there was gnashing of teeth, maybe. And then later on, see, I didn't know which side Dharma was supporting. Neither did he. The house fell asleep again. Oh, half of it. And then all of a sudden, oh! The last minute. Just wanted to go, that's all. He wanted it to go on. And on. And on. Eternity does. And eternity with God goes on and on. Hallelujah. And we need, as people of God that have been redeemed and set free, to start to worship God.
Amen.
With vibrancy. Yeah. With excitement. All right, the world might look at you and think, are you all right? No. Well, I'm more all right than them that goes to, that pay to go to a football match to watch 22 men run up and down a football field chasing a bag of wind. I'm more all right
than them.
I'll take another one. The proms. People get excited at the proms, don't they? They wear stupid hats, don't they? They wear some stupid clothing, don't they? And they get excited about the music and the performance and the shouting and the whooping and the joining in and the singing. And ask people to do that in church. And they pay to go and do it, don't they? We need to become worshippers.
Amen.
And if these people that go to a football match, they are worshipping that team on the pitch. They're worshipping their team. In fact, one of the commentators on the TV said something about one of the coaches. He's like a god. I said, well, he's only a god with a little g. That's certainly true. But this is the height that people lift.
Actually, he confirmed that he's god for Atletico.
So the coach confirmed he's god for Atletico. Well, we're just going to say that. I had to think for a moment. They lost, didn't they? You see, you can worship the wrong God. And I tell you what, I have never seen so many people praying in a football match. Is that not true, Dama?
Yeah.
I mean, there were people sat there, they were biting their nails and they were praying. Oh, we've got 2 minutes left and we need to get an equaliser. You know, I mean, they were like, oh, and you could see them and there's the signs of the crosses and they're praying, they got their eyes closed and I thought, need to get this lot in church. It'd be fantastic if you could get as many people in church to pray. There'd be signs, wonders and miracles all over the place. And all this is for is that they're praying that 11 men might get this bag of wind in this little square section at the other end of the field. Oh, what a sad life. If that's your ultimate height of excitement, it's sad. Because it only lasts for a moment. The excitement took off for one side after the first, 4 minutes. A goal was scored. Oh, they were making so much noise. They were so excited about what had gone off. And they were jubilant. Until the 89th minute. No! No! Can't have happened! The joy had gone. The worship had run out. They're in desperation now. What's going to happen? So they have to play extra time. And in extra time, everybody in the place is praying. You know, they're absolutely, you know, it's a terrifying experience. They don't pray that hard for themselves. They don't realize that there is an eternity to lose with God. we could only worship God with such exuberance, with such passion. You can't tell me there shouldn't be passion or exuberance in the church. We have so much to thank God for. We have so much to worship God for.
Amen.
We're not just getting a cup this big, a trophy just to keep for a year. Because that's what it is. You can have this now for a year. Gee, thanks. Well, God has given to us His full salvation for eternity.
Amen.
And in that we can worship Him from now through to eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise His wonderful name. Glory to God. This is just a warm-up to the message, I think, really. Hallelujah. We get so excited about, in real terms, the small things in life. We get so passionate about the small things in life. But the things of eternity, we push them to one side and we say, I'll deal with that later. You might not get later. Later might not come. Hear stories of young people, young men, young women, suddenly their life is snuffed out. What was wrong with them? No idea. Suddenly, gone. No time to prepare for eternity. Many young people say, oh well, I'm okay. When I get old, I'll deal with that later. When I get a few grey hairs, I'll deal with it later. Or when I've not got so many on top, I'll deal with it then. And we put eternity off. We put it off. Because we think God's a joy killer.
No way.
No, he's not.
He's
a joy giver.
He is the joy giver.
Good joy.
And we put it off. I think I'm gonna live my life and do what I want to do. Well, I'll tell you what, you can live your life and do what you want to do with God. You see, He changes your heart. He changes your desires. And you still do what you want to do because those desires and those feelings and those things He's given you, you're doing them unto God and for God and to be rewarded for doing them. Hallelujah. I think it's great. You know, God gives you something to do and you're being rewarded for doing it and you enjoy doing it and you get rewarded for it. I think that's fantastic. Ever been in a job where you hated it and yet, you know, the only thing you got for it was a wage and it weren't that much anyway and you didn't enjoy doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. It's miserable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Been there, done that, had the T-shirt. But you see, when you get in with God, God gives you His desires and you begin to take on those desires and you start doing and working for the kingdom of God and you begin to, you're enjoying it so much and God says, oh, by the way, I'm going to reward you for that. You think, wow, I'm enjoying this and I'm going to get rewards for it. Not just here, but in eternity. What about worshipping Him, giving Him thanks and praise? Stephen that comes to church.
Yeah. He said, Stephen said to me last week, when I'm in God's presence,
I get the same buzz and the same high that I used to get on drugs.
And there's no side effects that bring damage. The only the effects it brings is restoration, blessing, quickening, strengthening, joy, peace. You can go on. And it's a great addiction. I tell the addicts, I've got an addiction. And they look at me. Yeah. Yeah. Really? Yeah, I said, I'm addicted to Jesus. And I tell them, I said, there's no damaging side effects. I said, I can get high as often as I want. I said, and it's great. I said, and it's all free. I said, it's free. Jesus said, freely I've given to you, freely receive, freely give. Bless God. And they look at me and think, wow. I said, and I look good on it, don't I? And they go, yeah. Particularly when I tell them how young I am.
Amen.
Praise God. And they go, wow. They're not 10 years off me. Glory to Jesus. God is so good to us. I'm way off the message, by the way. Don't know how we're going to get back to this now. We're going to have to start this next week because there's no way I can get back into this now. Here I am I spend all this time typing notes up and God changes the order of things. But that's what the Spirit does. And so as we worship Him in spirit and in truth, and as we magnify His name, and I tell you, it needs practice to do this.
Yeah.
It does not come natural worshiping God.
No.
No, not at all.
But in reality, we are a creature that likes to worship.
Yeah. Worship your problem.
You worship the football team.
Yeah.
Your rugby team.
Yeah.
Your racing car driver.
Yeah.
You worship the band that plays, the musicians, the singers. You worship these people. You worship your job. Worship your children. And then when it comes that we get into the presence of God, we find it difficult to worship. Why? You see, God created you and me to be a worshiper. But we have to put things in the right order. God first. Yeah, we've got to get in the right order, get connected to God. Consider the Ten Commandments. What is the first commandment?
Worship the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Yeah, you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your might, and worship Him. Varies in different translations, but the actual theme of it is, the first commandment that is given to you and to me as His children is that we learn to worship Him, the Creator, because He loves you and wants to bless you beyond any understanding that you have. And so we are created, firstly, to worship. Problem is, when sin came in, we began to worship the wrong things.
Yeah.
Some people worship food. Some people worship drugs. As I've said, other things.
Fashion.
Fancy nails. Fancy clothes. Shoes.
Handbags.
In fact, I spoke to a girl yesterday. spoke to this girl yesterday, and she said what she really wants to do when she's really got qualified out of university is actually to buy a certain handbag manufactured by a certain company. And I'm just blowing out my head just now. But the thing that didn't pass through and disappear was the price point of what she was going to pay, or even that a boyfriend might buy it for her. He's a bigger mug than me. I know some of, you know, his love would have to really go deep if he's going to put his hand in his pocket and pull out £3,000 for an handbag. Huh? 3,000, guys, £3,000 for an handbag. Just think what you can buy with £3,000 and what you can do with it, you know. Just have an handbag. I've got all sorts I can buy for £3,000 that are far, far better use than an handbag. The thing will get scratched, it'll get worn out. And if you had ladies, if you had an handbag at £3,000, can you imagine what it'd be like with it? I mean, you'd be walking around like this with it, you know. You know. Wouldn't you? I mean, come on. It's £3,000, you know. I mean, next thing you know, it's gone. What would you have to buy to match with it? And how much would you have to spend? Dear God, shoes. I mean, if handbags £3,000, what would shoes be?
Oh, we're getting excited, obviously.
It's that handbag.
It's that £3,000 handbag. It's stolen everything.
It's the name. Pay for it. Somebody's done a good advertising job.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know a name that's worth more than £3,000 on a stupid handbag. Or a pair of shoes. Or a dress. And that name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know. That's who we should be worshipping. Yes. Not an handbag at £3,000. I mean, this girl, when she said it, her eyes lit up, you know. Or this handbag.
Your eyes lit up.
My eyes lit up as well, I'll tell you what. £3,000, good Lord, for an handbag. She needs talking to desperately. I thought the poor guy that's going to marry her, he'll never have anything.
It will be poor.
Exactly.
Well, she's got a handbag.
Aye. I mean, you'd have to insure it, wouldn't you? I mean, can you imagine? You ring insurance company and say, I'd like to insure my handbag. You know, personal end up phone falls off chair laughing and thinks, hey, have you heard this one? I've got a good not line today. Wants to insure the handbag. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us, what's in the handbag is more expensive than the handbag. Yeah? But no, this one now wants to insure a handbag. Just in case somebody steals it, or she leaves it on a train, or in the ladies' toilets while she's busy, you know, giving it all of this. £3,000? And you know, she says to the lady, yeah, I insure my handbag, it's £3,000. Like, ooh, this one's crazy. And then as Grace says, 6 months' time, it's out of fashion. It's no longer in fashion. What are you going to do now? Do you insure it because it's gone out of fashion? Change it. There you go. That's another £3,000, isn't it? You know. Plus inflation. Crazy. So, where were we? Oh, we were worshippers, weren't we? So we're all worshipping something, aren't we? But what are we worshipping is really worth worshipping.
Yeah, definitely. Jesus is worth it all.
Things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light and the glory of his presence. When we focus on Jesus, the handbag, the sports car, the piano, the guitar, the camera, whatever it is, the football team, will grow strangely dim.
Amen.
In the light and the glory of the presence.
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to just be encouraged to, as we teach on worship, to begin to practice it.
Yeah. Amen.
And you're going to take a risk. You're going to take a risk. You see, to practice worship, you have to hear your own voice.
Yeah.
Giving thanks to God.
Yeah.
You have to hear your own voice saying things in your mind saying you don't believe that. You have to begin to say things to God and worship him. And your mind says to you, yeah, but you're not in that situation yet. You have to worship God and say, Lord, I thank you, I'm healed.
Yeah.
And your mind says, you're not yet.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
I know what your mind says because I have a mind as well. Mm-hmm. The high place.
Yeah.
It's the highest point in any person's life. The high place, the mind. And it's an absolute nuisance at times. It's always having a go at you.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Having a go all the time. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe what Andrew's saying now. Just dismiss it. Push it to one side. Carry on doing what you're doing. You're okay. Well, you're not. The devil works with doubt, fear and unbelief.
Yeah.
And the doctor says, I'll give you something for that. We heard it, didn't we? Who told that?
Joan.
Joan. Oh, yeah, fitted really great with today's message. You know, go and confess.
Yeah.
How many times have I said that? If the doctor gives you a prescription, he gives it, he says, take these 3 times a day for the next 10 days, fortnight, whatever it happens to be, take the full course. And don't miss. Don't not take the full course. Right? Preacher comes along, knows God, says, here, I'm going to give you a verse of scripture. I want you to take it 3 times a day for the next 21 days. And when you've done that, everything will be different. Life will change. Most people think he's crackers. He's crazy. That's not possible. Well, I'm telling you, it is possible.
Amen.
This word changes things.
Amen.
This word changes people. This word dissolves sickness,
Amen.
Sin and disease.
Amen.
As you let it work.
Yeah.
And when you start to do that and you start to worship God, you will see things change.
Yeah.
Because this word is powerful.
Amen.
You see, this is the word of God. These are God's words. And when God spoke, he created you and me. He created this earth that we live in. He created the universe. Because it says in Genesis, and God said,
let there be
light. And there was light. God said, let there be. And it came into being. He spoke you into being.
Thank you, God.
Wow.
And there you are.
And here you are. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
This word changes things. This word saves lives.
Yeah.
This word gives hope to the hopeless.
Amen.
This word gives promise and future blessings to those without a hope.
Yeah.
This word is powerful.
Amen.
This word is a healing word.
Amen.
This word is a delivering word.
Mm-hmm.
This word is a keeping word. This word is the word of God, the creator of all things.
Amen.
This word. And he is worthy to be worshipped.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. And so to worship him, you're going to have to practice doing it.
Yeah.
It's easy when you're at a football match and you see everybody else doing it and you can see what they're worshipping. But you see, we come to an invisible God.
Yeah.
He don't need to be visible. He's an invisible God. And we have that problem. Where is he? Where's God? Where is he? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always here. I'm sat right by the side of you. Yeah? And yet, every one of us have prayed at some time, God, where are you? Huh? Haven't you? God, where are you? And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always,
Amen.
Even to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
And yet we say, God, where are you? God, where are you in this situation? God, where are you when I need you? Here it is. The old footprints poster. One night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with God. And across the sky flashed scenes of my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and the other belonged to God. When the last scene of my life flashed before us, I looked back at the footprints in the sand and I noticed that at that time, along the path of life, there was only one set of footprints. Also, I noticed it happened at the very lowest and saddest time of my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned God about it. God, you said that once I decide to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. In times when I needed you most, you would leave me. God replied, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you during your times of trials and sufferings. When you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I was carrying you. In your most difficult time. You're not walking. You're being carried.
Amen.
In your most challenging times, when you might think you're alone, you're being carried. The Almighty carries you. Wednesday night we heard how the good shepherd would go and seek out his sheep that was lost, that one that was missing. And when he found that sheep, he didn't make it walk back to the other 99, but he picked it up and he put it across his shoulders and he carried it home to safety. Where is God in your crises? Where is God in your pain? Where is God in your sicknesses? He's carrying you.
Amen.
That's something to worship Him for.
Amen.
That's something to give Him thanks for.
Yes.
Magnify His name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just encourage you to begin to practice a form of worship. Begin to sing a song to the Lord. Sing a new song. Just let your voice be heard. Let you hear you worship God.
Yeah, that's
it. Get used to that, worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't think, oh, I've got to put a CD on to do it.
No.
Because when the CD don't work, when you haven't got a CD, when you're not in the church, you'll say, I can't worship unless I've got my music. But you can.
Yeah.
Because it's in your heart.
Yeah.
It's in your heart. So worship Him out of your heart.
Yeah.
And stop your mind interfering with your life. And let your heart direct your life. Because it's the life of God that flows through you.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 That's a good idea, isn't it? We'll have some Jesus scarves made. Rebecca, knitting job. Scarves with Jesus on. We can all have them in church then, can't we? Yeah, but it's got to say Jesus across it. You know, stand there and worship the Lord with a scarf that says Jesus on it. Yeah. Ah, well, yeah, that's a good idea. Some we praise the Lord on, and some with Jesus on. Oh, you can. There ain't such a thing as can't, is there?
No.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In fact, if I'd have actually taught on worship today, you'll get me started on today's message if you're not careful. And there's a man in the Bible that God gave the talents to build the tabernacle. Right? Ask God. Don't say, I can't do it. You can. I can. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, that word strengthen means He gives me wisdom. He gives me knowledge. He gives me understanding. Amen? It's not about, you know, it's not about I can do all things through Christ who pumps up my muscles. What good's that? If you don't need muscles, you don't need muscles to knit, really, do you? Not big muscles anyway, do you? Because you haven't got big muscles, have you?
No.
Hey, let me tell you this. Rebecca had to design a pattern. So I'm quite sure that Helen and a few of us can sit down and work out a pattern of what stitch the J comes and starts and how many lines down. And yes, I think we could.
There you go.
You reckon?
Yeah. Business
simple.
Idea.
Helen says it's simple.
Simple. There you go.
Nothing
to it, you see. God gives wisdom and understanding and revelation and knowledge, and He says, just get on with it, gang, and do it. Hallelujah.
Go and talk to Bezalel in the corner. Bezalel. She knows all about it.
Amen.
God is so good. Are we blessed?